Morning, church. Testing 1, 2, 1, 2. All right. Good. It is so good, and it's a privilege to be here this morning and to worship together and to share the word together, to feed together. Amen. Such a privilege. I've just had this song in my heart, and I'm going to call my wife to just sing it. Now, she sing it. I want us to make it our confession this morning. It goes, "This so sweet to trust in Jesus." Amen. So I'm just going to call her up, and I want to encourage us, if you can just rise to your feet one more time, we just want to make this song our confession this morning. Amen.
Amen. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know Thus says the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more. Jesus, 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 precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I've learned to trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that He is with me. He is with me till the end. Jesus, 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 how I trust Him, how I more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to try. Make it your confession one more time. Say, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Amen.
Oh, for grace to trust Him more. Amen. There is no one as sweet as Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Last week, well, first I should say welcome. Welcome, everyone. And those that are tuning in online, so happy that you can also join us. Last week, I talked a little bit about when you pray, and I wanted to continue that topic. We looked at Luke 11, 1, 2, 3, and we're going to look at verse 4 today. Praise God. So in Luke 11, 1 to 4, Jesus gives us a blueprint of what to say to God when we pray. Like I said, we got to verse 3, and today we're going to look at verse 4. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke 11 and verse 4. And as we turn there, I'll just give a brief recap. According to Jesus, who spent a lot of his time praying, he says to his disciples, when you pray, say, Father. We talked a little bit about that God wants us to identify ourselves as his children. It is a position of intimacy as well as authority. You know, we were discussing in our life groups some of the characteristics of a father. And I also recall that when I was living with my father, I remember that whatever he said goes. The father was the ruler of the house. My father protects, my father provides, my father leads the household, and my father loved us. So when we pray, God wants us to say, hey, guys, I'm your father. Come to me as your father. We learn that when we pray, we need to hallow his name. Whatever name God has revealed himself to be in Scripture, we must recognize as holy. Right? God's chief characteristic is holy. And to address him as holy allows us to rest in that revelation. Amen? So for example, God has revealed to us himself as Father. He says, call me Father. I'm your Father. When we address him as Holy Father, we are saying that he is a perfect Father. And as we communicate with the Father, we find rest in his perfection. Amen? Because he's a perfect Father. He said, when you pray, say, your kingdom come. Praying this demonstrates our ability to trust that what God has in store for us is the very best that we can ever hope for on this side of life. When we say, your kingdom come, it is not a request for our personal needs. It's not a request for our personal wants. It's not a request for our personal needs or wants, but it's an alignment of God's will over our very own. We must be ready to adjust our personal lives. We must be ready to adjust our family life, our church life, our city, and our nation to God's rule. In Matthew 16, verses 19 and 20, He's given the church that is built on the truth of Jesus. He's given to us the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever we bind, whatsoever we tie up, and whatsoever we loose, whatsoever we set free, is bound and is freed. And so God has given to his church the keys to the kingdom. And when we pray, we call heaven's rule on earth. And the Bible says in James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, no shadow of change. Amen? So God said, listen, call my kingdom. Ask me to bring my kingdom into your life, into your family, into your church, into your workplace. Then he went on to say, give us each day our daily bread. And so, you know, we had fun with this. And look, we can teach on this scripture over and over and over again. Because there's so many things that we can see in it. You know, when was the last time you prayed to God for bread? Like literally, you prayed to God for bread. Where do you go when you need bread? Praise God. We go to our wallets, and then we go to the grocery store. True or true? True. We sweat and we eat that in order for us to eat. And that's the natural way of things, right? That's the way that our natural father, Adam, the first man, that's what he left for us. But Jesus is saying to us that when we pray, ask our perfect heavenly Father daily for bread. You know, this had me thinking. Praise God. This had me thinking. What does it mean to ask God for daily bread? And what does that look like? if we ask God for our daily bread, and he provided it through a different means than which we are accustomed, what would we do with the money that is budgeted for bread? What would we do with it? You know, are you going to say, well, praise God, that $200 that was going to go to bread this week, it's going to go to... Do we create room in the budget to add that $200 to? Have you ever done your budget and there are needs outside of your personal budget that has come to your attention when you're doing your budget? Maybe God wants us to ask for our daily bread so that when he provides it, we can give to those needs outside of us that God brings to our attention. Jesus traveled for 3 years with his disciples doing ministry. He was staying at different homes. He was eating out. He was feeding 5,000 and 4,000. You know, he was visiting. He was pulling coins out of the mouth of a fish. He seemed to know where to go to find God's provision. And he said to us, guys, look, when you pray, ask God for your daily bread. Ask God the Father daily for bread. So we come to Luke 11 verse 4, and it reads, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Are you alive this morning? Are you here? Yes. All right, here we go. It says, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. So when we pray, say, forgive us of our sins. Even though Jesus paid the ransom for our sins once and for all, sin is still very much alive. The desire to act contrary to the will of God is in our flesh, as well as in our world. Sometimes we sin deliberately, knowing that we're sinning, and sometimes we sin without being aware. In Romans 7, chapter 7 and verse 8, Paul described his struggle with sin. He recognizes that the good he desired to do is not what he's actually doing. Instead, he's doing the things that he hates. And so he came to the conclusion that to act contrary to the will and the word of God dwells within him. Like it dwells within him. Not only does it dwell in his body, but it is waging war against the knowledge of God that he has in his mind to make him what? Captive to sin. And so Paul went on to say, this friction, he said, it caused him to feel like a wretched man. It made him felt miserable. It made him felt unhappy. It made him felt sad. It made him felt heartbroken. And it made him realize that he needs a deliverer. And then he went on to say in Romans 8 that Jesus is that deliverer. And in Romans 8:1, we read, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for our sake, God the Father, he made him, Jesus, to be sin, the one who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen? You know, when we say, forgive us of our sins, it is a humble reminder that sin is with us, that sin is in our members. It is also a reminder that God has dealt with our sin through Jesus, and sin can no longer separate us from our Father. So whether we sin knowingly or unknowingly, we should deal with it by asking our Heavenly Father to forgive us. He's the only one that can forgive us of our sins. Amen? So, the author, Jesus continued, when you pray, say, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. You know, there was a young man by the name of Juan Johnson. He was convicted for a crime he did not commit. After spending 11 years in prison and pleading his innocence, he was finally released. After Johnson was released, he sued the city of Chicago for $21 million and won. It was the biggest give out in the history of Chicago. Like Mr. Johnson, when someone does something against us in which we are innocent, we desire either to get even, to cut the person off, or we want some type of payment. We want some type of payment if there's going to be any kind of relationship moving forward. We can say things like, I'm never, we at times say, I will never forgive you, which is to hold a person in a position of always being indebted to you. You know, if we focus on others and what they do, we would never be able to forgive. Forgiveness is done by focusing on what God has done for us. Amen? So in context of Luke 1:4, Jesus tells us to pray first for our own sins, to ask him first to forgive us of our own sin, then to confess, listen, if there's anybody that I'm holding anything against, please forgive me. I forgive you. You begin to release people. Now, this is in the context of God's love and mercy towards us, right? Because he forgives us, so we forgive others. If God does not condemn us of our sins, then we ought not to condemn others, our brothers and sisters as well. Now, sometimes we can play around with this context because we know that we serve a good God, amen? We know that we serve a faithful God, amen? We know that we serve a holy God that is full of love. The Bible says that God is love. You know, so sometimes we can say, God, this person is, how can I forgive? We can say, God, help me to forgive, which is not bad. Help me to forgive, but not really. Can I hold on to a little bit of that? You know, when it gets hard to forgive, I mean, we can do what Jesus did. Basically, he said what Jesus advised us to do. Just make a bold confession. Father, I forgive. You forgive me, so I'll forgive and release anyone. But you know, sometimes it gets difficult. And what do we do when sometimes it really gets difficult for us to forgive? When I find it hard to forgive, there's a scripture that really balanced me out. Amen? I'm going to share that with you. In Matthew 18:21-35, I'm not going to read the whole thing. But this was a story of Jesus was talking with his disciples about forgiving one another. And Peter asked him, Jesus, how many times should we forgive our brothers and sisters who has hurt us? And then he threw out a number. He's like, 7 times? You see, back in those days, the Jewish rabbi told the people that if somebody has done anything to you, you need to forgive them at least 3 times. So when Peter threw out that big number, 7 times, he was doubling it up plus 1. Amen? She's like, God, look, I'm gonna double that and give you 1. Right? And Jesus looked at him and said, well, you know, before I said that, I said, I'm just thinking about when you forgive the person the third time, what happens? And the fourth time they offend you, what do you do? I'm thinking back in those days, you know, it's like, cat, get your lunch, man. You're on your own. But Jesus responded to Peter 70 times 7, which is 490 times. So to Peter, that would be like an unlimited number. It's like, God, what? I'm throwing out 7? And you're telling me 490 times? Jesus began to talk to them about a parable of a servant whose master forgave him tons. And after being forgiven, he ran into somebody that just owed him a few dollars. He had that person thrown into prison. Eventually, word got back to the master. And let's read how the conversation went on. In Matthew 18, I'll read from verse 32 to 35. It says, "Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgive you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers." Some versions say tormentors. "Until he should pay all his debt. So also," this is Jesus speaking, "my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." So God the Father said, "You wicked servant." God was angry at that wicked servant. You see, he didn't stop calling him servant. He just put wicked in front of servant. And he delivered that person into the hands of tormentors. Conclusion, when I read this scripture, I'm like, ain't nobody is worth me not forgiving. Can I get an amen? I don't care what you do. I don't care what. For God to call me wicked, for God to be angry with me, and for tormentors to be released so that I can't sleep, I'm like, no, I like my sleep. I will forgive. So it doesn't matter what anyone has done. Forgive. Because they're just not worth it. That's one way of looking at it. it's just not worth it. No, not at all. But you see, Jesus, he showed us the perfect model. It's a model of relationship. And it's a model of the Father giving to us, and so we give to others. Amen? And at times when we struggle with that, sometimes it's good to look, because the same God that is love and caring, he is also a judge, right? And he afflicts us at times, okay? So that he can get our attention back on him. And sometimes we can do things out of fear of affliction. Because when God afflicts, you know, he afflicts. And sometimes we can do things out of fear. Say, okay, God, I don't want you to afflict me, so I'm going to do that. But God is not looking necessarily for us to be fearful of affliction. He wants us to look to him, to walk with him. Right? Because when we walk with him, he will teach us what to do. He will show us how to live holy. Show us how to walk in such a way that we don't need to fear affliction, because he will deal with the affliction. Amen? Praise God. You know, and the thing with Jesus, when he tells us to do something, he also shows us how to do it. In Luke 23, 34, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, innocent. He was innocent of everything that was said against him. The Bible says that Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So he left an example for us to follow. Amen? And so he also said, when you pray, let's go to the other point, say, "Lead us not into temptation." See, God not only gives us triumph over sin that is engraved in our flesh by the blood of Jesus, but by the power of his Spirit, he also helps us to keep our feet from the path that is contrary to his will and his word. Our world is full of temptations that seek to lure us away from God's will, from God's word. And the guy that is busy behind the scene plotting the next move is the devil. He knows us, and he knows us very well. He knows what makes us tick. He knows which button to push. He knows who to send our way to agitate us. He knows us very well. The emphasis, however, of lead us not into temptation is not that temptation would not come, but rather that God is able to keep us from the grasp, from it grasping us, and producing in us sin. You know, God wants us to deal with the root of sin and not just the fruit. Amen? He wants us to deal with the temptation first. Because if he deals with the temptation, then sin will have no chance being born. So he wants to deal with the root and not the fruit. You know, in Matthew 4, it shows us an example of how God wants us to deal with temptation. You know, that is the story of Jesus being tempted by Satan. The Bible says that he was filled with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. You know, Satan came against Jesus. And he came to question his identity. You know, if you're the Son of God, then do this. He came to question his understanding of Scripture. Jesus, haven't you, the Word of God says, if you jump down, that he would send his angels to catch you, to keep your feet from stumbling. You know, he came to test his loyalty to God. He said, look at this, all the riches of the world, I'll give it to you if you would just bow down and worship me. But Jesus said to him, in all three instances, devil, this is what my Father says. He said, devil, this is what my Father says. It is written. This is what my Father says. God is so good. He says, say, forgive us of our sins. But he also says, lead us not into temptation. Amen. So if you find yourself being tempted, you can pray and say, God, let not this thing grasp my heart. Let it not grasp my heart. Help me to live according to your word. And as Christians, that's why it's important for us to be in the word of God, to read the word, to know the word, so that we can leverage the word when Satan comes. You know, we have that thing to say, this is what the word says. This is what the word says. And this is what the word says. Amen? When God reveals his word to us, it becomes so alive. It's not just reading a story. It is actually putting yourself in the story and seeing the word operate in your life the way it's been operating in the lives of others. Amen? The word of God is alive. The Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces our bones, our marrows, our soul, our intellect, our understanding, and our spirit. That is the word of God. Amen? And so when Jesus is saying, you pray, lead me not into temptation, a part of that is God revealing his word to us. As Jesus said, it is written. And when he said, it is written, and he understood the power of the word of God, the devil had no response. He could only move on to the next thing. And then when you say again, it is written, when you understand the word of God, when you understand that you are in relationship with a heavenly Father, that when he speaks, there is nothing, no power, no demon, nothing that can stop the word of God from bearing fruit in our lives. We need to study it and we need to ask God, how do I live this? How do I live it? Guide my steps in your word. Because when God reveals the word to you, God has many ways to speak to us. I was sharing with my wife yesterday. I was just reading the word. I ran up. You know, sometimes when God drops something, you get excited, right? And so I just got excited. And I just, honey, honey, honey. And she was on the phone. And she was just busy talking. I was like, honey, I just got something to say. And she's like, you know, like you talk to little Zaria. It's like, okay. It's like, okay. And then I waited. You know, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, about two minutes. I was like, hon, look, I got to go. I'll probably go share with Mom and Angelina that's around somewhere. But then she was like, no, stay. So I stayed, and she muted her phone call, and so I got to share with her. I was just reading the word, and then God was trying to show me something. He was like, you know, if you are a farmer, and you plant something, right? He was just showing me something about the church. And let me rephrase that. So, if you're somebody going into, or you want to build a farm, or you're, Mom, what's that thing that you have in our backyard? A little small garden. Would you want to be the person that is just picking the fruits from the garden? Or would you want to be the person that is, you know, digging the ground, putting the seeds, putting the manure and, you know, the fertilizers and watching it grow, come out every day and, you know, put the water on it and see the fruits bear on it and then pick the fruits? You know, and then I asked, which one would you want to be? Would you want to be the guy, which process would find you more fulfillment, I should say? The guy who just comes in and just picks the fruit, or the person that goes through the process and then sees the fruit, you know, out and then picks the fruit? Who do you think that would have the more fulfillment, would enjoy? You know, my home was like, some people are like, yeah, the one who went through the process will have a better appreciation for the fruit. While one and two was like, well, you know what? I can find a lot of enjoyment just picking that fruit and eating it. and so we had a little bit of a debate on that. But at the end of the discussion, we all came to a place where we're like, you know what? Sometimes we look at things with our earthly eyes, especially when it comes to being in God's will. Sometimes we want the finished product and don't necessarily want to go through the process to get the finished product. But God, in His goodness and His faithfulness, is the eternal God. He just doesn't see what benefits us here. He sees what will benefit us when we are with Him. Amen. And sometimes the things that are going to benefit us when we are with Him are the things that we need to go through the process in order to achieve, in order to see the fruits. And so I want to encourage you today, as you pray, enjoy the process of prayer. Enjoy the process of prayer. Jesus says, when you pray, take this prayer and begin to pray it. Enjoy the process. Sit with God and say, Father, if you don't understand what that means, ask Him, show me how to appreciate what it means for you to be my Father. Say, God, enjoy the process of hallowing His name. You know, like God, sit in His name. Rest in His name. If He is Jehovah, if you have a need, if you are sick, if you are ailing, if there is something wrong with your body, sit and call Him Jehovah Rapha or Jehovah Rohi or Jehovah Jireh. Sit and call Him by His name and tell Him, Father, You are so perfect in who You are, in Your names, in who You reveal Yourself as. Sit with Your kingdom come. sit with give us our daily bread. You know, I just give you an example. What if God wants us to pray? I mean, it says here, for our daily bread, so that when he provides it, he wants us to take what we would use for our daily bread and look around at the needs that he's also brought our way, the needs of others. And he wants us to give to that need. What if? Sit. And when you sit with the word, God will show you, forgive me of my sins. Father, what is it that is tripping me up? You may know it, and you may not know it. So ask God. God, who am I holding stuff against? Who am I putting in prison because of what they've done to me many years ago? Father, teach me how to forgive. Lead us not into temptation. What temptation keeps tripping you up, producing the fruit of sin in your life? Talk to God about it. He's given to us his Spirit. Said the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. And if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead lives in us, then that same Spirit will give life to our mortal bodies. Ask God, what does that mean if you don't know? Sit with it. And I just want to encourage you, enjoy prayer. Enjoy prayer. Enjoy prayer. Amen. Let's rise to our feet. I'm telling you, because sometimes in life there comes a time when we need to pray that we may find it difficult. So enjoy it. And God will give you what he needs to give you because you've been practicing. He will give you what you need in that time. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was sweating blood. He was fighting between his will, his flesh, and the Father's will. He was fighting, but God sent angels to minister to him and to help him in his agony. We serve the same God. Amen. Are you excited about prayer? Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And I'm going to say that again. Unto you belongs the kingdom, unto you belongs the power, and unto you belongs the glory. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. And, Father, even as we leave this place today, we pray, God, that you would continue to stir up in us the spirit of prayer. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be blessed and have a blessed week. All right, guys, see you next week, and God bless you.